Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and stand up, lift our hands, and begin to bless God. Father, we thank you today for your anointing. Without your anointing, we cannot do a thing. So we invite Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are invited to this session. Make Jesus Lord. Make Jesus known to us. We pray that the Word of God will change our minds, renew our minds, change our hearts, that we'll make decisions that are based on your Word, that the blessing of God would continue not only in our life, but to the generations of our children to come. We thank you that because we're here in Thunder Bay, in Canada, that this place is a whole lot better because we're here. We're trusting God that everyone here in this building and in this watching online, that the blessing of God will become theirs. If it's not, we pray in the name of Jesus that they'll receive Christ, that they'll be born again, and the blessing of God will follow them, and mercy will follow all the days of their lives. I want to thank you, Lord God, as we leave here, it'll be a whole lot better than if we slept in and got a few extra hours in that we needed. We thank you today, Lord God, that the word of the Lord endures forever. And we thank you that this word will break every banner and every chain. I want to thank you that fear is a thing of the past for us, that we do not fear man or any consequence of the devil. In the name of Jesus, we praise you and thank you. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Go ahead, be seated. Hallelujah. Well, let's go to our Bibles. If you have your Bible this morning, I want to thank again one more time those that are watching online. You know, I usually get information by people texting me or messaging me about they're watching online. And I thank God for the ability. The Bible says, you know, I believe it was 1991, somewhere on there. We just got back from Winnipeg. We were studying in Winnipeg, and we had our firstborn there. Hannah was born and just off Pembina Highway, Victoria Hospital. And we moved into the parsonage at the church that we had, were belonging to before, and we were just there just a little bit of time. The first church that we were part of, then God led us to start a new church. In the year 2000, when we got back from Rhema, God began to change the way we ministered, or at least the way I ministered, and said mainly that my ministry will be teaching. And I proceeded to learn to try to perfect my tool or craft in teaching. And I was, one evening, I was brushing my teeth and going to bed. The Spirit of the Lord came upon me and spoke to me in 1991, and he said to me, you have a worldwide ministry, and you know, you kind of shake things off, and I still shake things off today because I don't know what God's going to do. I saw myself in the early 80s. I had a mini vision. I saw myself preaching in a stadium where it looked like hundreds of thousands of people preaching it. I don't know if it seemed to be like it was in China. I thought it was Africa at first, but it seemed like I was in China. And I saw the stadium, and it just went away so quickly. And I was talking to this young fellow yesterday and how many visions he had. And sometimes when we have vision from God, we put it off. So in the early 1991 there, the Lord spoke to me and said that our worldwide ministry. And then he gave me Mark chapter 16. Jesus gave me Mark chapter 16. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And it began to confirm to me that I was to do this. And in early 2008, I believe, when the man of God spoke, and he said to me, very soon, you have said that I'm very shy about seeing myself on newspaper, because at the time I said to my staff, I don't want to be, they want to put me on newspaper to advertise an event. And I said, no, I don't want to be on the newspaper. I really meant it. And I don't know if you ever felt that way, but you don't like to be put out in the front, because if anything happens, you're in trouble. or you know, you just don't like that. Anyway, the Lord the man of God says, you said that I don't want to be in the front and so on. He said that Lord said to, in a very short while, you will be on television across Canada. God needs a teacher and you're it. And that's what I heard the Lord said to me. And I looked at the video. We still have the video. How many of you remember that video that we had put out? And we still have it. We should put it back out there and let people know that. I was encouraged yesterday as I came, drove off the highway. You know, sometimes you get very busy with people's lives because their lives are very busy. And I have other things that I'm doing. I'm trying to finish my sermons and write my notes together and meet with people and talk with people. And yesterday we had an emergency downstairs where there was a flood down there in the basement of our church. Not the basement, I guess it's in the boiler room. So we've had trouble with that boiler room, and it might cost us some money. But how many knows God is rich? Amen. And you're rich. Amen. And so we'll get this done. Don't worry about it. You're not going to have to pay for it. The Lord's going to pay for it through you. Amen. Amen. So anyway, we're believing God for that the section on this section over here. It's $100,000. It's just pocket money for Ed. And so it's over here, over on this side. Anyway, some finances came in, and so we were putting the money in our minds, you know, towards that. But this machine, they told us, they said to us, the people who know about this said, you know, we'll pass the heating this year, but you're going to have to do something very soon. But something's happening down there now. And so they said they fix it. So anyway, that has to be done very soon. But God, thank God, He knows that where our lives are, and He can help us in different ways. So we can do things, you know, we just have to obey God. Amen. And so what I'm trying to say is that sometimes we don't really believe what God puts in our hearts. It's very hard to believe with your natural mind what God will do in your life if you will obey Him. If you just go out and step out and not be afraid. And so that's why we spent several weeks talking about fear and what fear does in people's life. And there's so much fear in the lives of people that they're not obeying God where they should be. They're not in a way, you know, living the blessing of God where they should be. And so I wanted to spend some time talking about that, but we'll shift gear and talk about the fear of the Lord this morning. So, you know, lots of times we neglect to say some things because we are busy writing our sermon or doing something else. So we need to say some things God wants to tell people different things. So He's saying to you, listen, obey God. No matter what the consequences seem to be at the moment, obey Him. Because there's such blessing in it. You know, did you know the commitment of the three Hebrew children? When Nebuchadnezzar said there, this is chapter 3 of Daniel, they kind of tricked these three Hebrew children. They kind of made a decree and they got the king to sign it, and that anybody who prayed to other God other than the one He established as an idol, that you would be thrown into you'd be killed, basically. And so they established this statue that Nebuchadnezzar did, and the people behind him were kind of crafting up a plan so that these children of Israel would be killed and destroyed, Daniel. And so they began to worship God anyway. So anybody who didn't worship this God, when we rang this bell or whatever they were doing there, that if you don't fall down and worship this God, you will be thrown into the fiery furnace. And so the king got word of it because they had set it up and told the king that these children of Israel were not bowing down to this idol. And they brought them in. They talked to them and said, what happened there? And so the king said, this is true. He said, it's true. They said, we're not going to bow down to this idol, this false god that you've established, man-made. And there's a lot of people today that are doing that, that are falling down before a false god, whether it's whatever they're doing in life. They're obeying that rather than following God. Because an idol could be anything that's more important in your life than God himself. Hello, are you here? Okay, so if you put anything else before God, that's an idol in your heart. Your job can be, your mother can be, your career can be. Whatever it is that's before God, it can be an idol in your life. Now, I might be treading on thin ice right here, but I have to say these things so that people will understand and know. Now, they said this Bible is for us. Everything written in the Old Testament was for our learning, this New Testament says. So, they said, King, we will not bow down to this idol because our God will save us from this. You and I need to understand that God will save you from the enemy. Whatever he's trying to make you do in life, he will save you from that. If you would trust God. He said, we will not bow down to this idol because our God will save us. Then their commitment was, there's where commitment was, this was not a statement of unbelief when they said this. They said, even if God didn't rescue us from the fiery furnace, because we have so much fear for God, we will not bow down to this thing. So that's how much commitment they have. So we need to be able to obey God. And God, hey, listen, they came out of the fiery furnace without any smoke or any kind of burning or anything like that. No damage. So thank God that we can obey God no matter what seems to be the consequences, negative consequences. We can still obey God and enjoy his blessing in our lives. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Well, that's a good lesson right there. That's a side lesson. I keep going back to this. Anyway, praise God. Okay, you have your Bible? Psalm 34, 1-4, one more time again. Let's go ahead and put it on the large screen, and we're going to read this together. Okay, this is the King James Version. Let's go ahead and read 1-3. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Let's go ahead and read it two more times. The last section, delivered me from all my fears. And delivered me from all my fears. One more time. And delivered me from all my fears. Now, we have mentioned through different times now that God has delivered us, according to what the psalmist said, that he has delivered us from all our fears. This is also verified from other scriptures, that God has delivered you from the spirit of fear. And we talked about the origination of fear, and its inception came the very first time we see this in chapter 3, the book of Genesis. Man said, I was afraid. And before then, before he sinned, there was no fear before that. And so we saw that it came from then, it came from the consequence of associating with the devil, and he brought in the death, and then we saw that it had to do with death and separation from whatever thing you love in life. So that's where we see that, so we need to look at that. If you want to look further, you can study some more on it. That fear has its roots in losing something. Losing life to losing whatever in life, whatever you love, separated from things that you love in life. The devil always tells you you're going to lose something if you obey him. So our study today, I propose this idea to you today, according to Luke 1:50, New Living Translation. The Bible says he shows mercy from generation to generation and to all who fear him. The fear of the Lord, in the fear of the Lord, we have God's mercy working for us. When we fear God, If we would learn to fear God, we will have His mercy, not only on our lives, but our children's lives also. The Bible says that if we as parents and grandparents obey God 100% and follow Him, that our children would be protected from all the consequences of life that the rest of the world has. Now, they might get into trouble, but God says, I'll be there for them as well. And God says, because we are in covenant, if you study covenant, how many of you ever understand covenant? If you understand covenant, that's why Jesus said, all that belongs to me belongs to you. Everything that belongs to Jesus that God gave him now belongs to you and me. Amen. Covenant. Now all that belongs to you in this life belongs to God. Amen. If God says, I want 10% of your finances, then you should give him 10% because it's a covenant relationship. Yeah. Not only that, but he says, I'll take that 10% and I'll increase it and protect you in your finances and in your home. It's not automatic. You have to have faith in it. It's a faith thing. It's not a legal thing. You don't have to do this if you don't want to. Amen. But you should want to if you want to be in the blessings of God and really have, you know, the blessing, a real blessing. Somebody said, well, I know I don't tithe and I'm really blessed. I have, well, thank God for that. And if you are, just imagine how much better it will be when you obey God. How much greater it will be. So listen, no condemnation if you're not tithing. We're not going to condemn you in this church. Praise God. We'll fellowship with you. And we'll love you. And we'll thank God for you. Glory to God. Amen? Hallelujah. It's a faith thing. So sometimes we talk about it, you know, some people think that so many things. Anyway, thank God. I don't want to go on a tangent. Anyway, as an introduction, we have been discussing, as we mentioned, the power that we have from breaking free from fear. Because Jesus has set us free. God has set us free from all fear. So this morning, I want to talk to you about what it means to have the fear of the Lord. The scriptures are clear and are both, in the New Testament, Old Testament, the scriptures are very clear that there are consequences for not having the fear of the Lord in your life. There's a consequence for not fearing God in your life. Like, say, for instance, you say, well, I don't care what the Bible says. I'm going to just do this. I don't care if the Holy Spirit told me in my life to go to this church. I'm just going to go here because I like it. All my friends are over here. There's a consequence for that. I don't care what God says. I'm still going to go for my PhD, and I'm going to become a full-time whatever. And I know God called me, but I don't care. I just want to do this. There's a consequence for it. Now, God's not going to kill you, but I know somebody else who is going to try to do his best to do it. And sometimes God has to remove his hand so that you're going to see that without him, you're in big trouble. Not only that, but it is very clear that there are blessings, or the blessing of God is associated with having a healthy fear of God. Okay, so we need to have a healthy fear of God. Now, the kind of fear that we're talking about is not the kind of tormenting fear, that we think about that is associated with the devil. So, now, Hebrews 10:31 says, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. That's talking to the New Testament people. Having the fear of God, or fear of the Lord, means that we have great awe and respect for the things of God and the Word of God that needs to be applied to our lives, and that we are willing to obey God no matter what the consequences are in this world. That we ought to have more fear for God to obey His word and to obey His Holy Spirit within us when He speaks to us to follow Him. No matter what seemingly the hard, tough consequence might be. You might lose friends. You might lose money. You might lose reputation in the world. You might lose your place in the world. But God says, I'll always make it up for you. And so some people, as we mentioned in earlier teaching, that they will not give this up because their friends are more important. Their job is more important. Their extra $1,000 a month is more important than obeying God fully in their lives at the moment. So we see in the scriptures, we see these illustrations. We will see more. It seems that many people live in direct disobedience and neglect of God and His word and wouldn't think twice of living the opposite of what God says or wants them to do. The Bible says it's a scary thought to disobey God directly and say, I don't care what God says, I'm just going to do what I want to do. But still, people go on living recklessly, living like there's no tomorrow, living like there's no consequence for living in sin or willfully in disobedience. But how many people know that there is a tomorrow? You know, how many people this morning, Sunday morning, they wish they didn't go out last night? How many people last night on the dance floor or in the bar or wherever they were having a great time at the gambling casino, wherever, today they feel bad because they lost their house, their car, their wife, or whatever it is they lost yesterday. Or they're sitting in jail right now or in a hospital because of the consequence of directly disobeying God. There is a tomorrow. But also there is a tomorrow for the blessings of God. The blessings of God will come to you. The blessings of God will be there for you when we obey Him. You know, we're not born with fear. There's there's not a tinge of fear in a born-again believer's heart. We are not born with fear from the natural and spiritual perspective of our lives. We have learned about fearing things in life because of whoever we learned to fear things from. We're not given a spirit of fear from our birth. When we were born into this world physically, there was no something biologically in your chemistry or in your mind or whatever it is that was put in there by God that you should fear things. We learned that. Scientists tell us, social scientists, people like, psychology and sociologists tell us that we learn to fear things in life through observation and experiences. But also that as a born-again believer, the day you were born again, if you were born again at 14 years old or 24 years old or 44 years old, when you were born again, fear was not put into your spirit by God. We see this in the scripture time and time again, Romans and Timothy, that we have not been given the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and of a sound mind. That God didn't put in our hearts fear to be in bondage again to anything, in Romans chapter 8 says. So we're not born with fear. So nothing in life can make you fearful without your permission. That's why Psalm 23 says, I will not fear. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. That's our confession. Psalm 23 is a picture of a Christian, a believer who has Jesus Christ as their shepherd in this life. And you can say with the psalmist, I will not fear. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's your confession of faith today. Let's look at Romans 8. He said, for you have not received the spirit, 8:15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. We're not to be captivated with bondage and to fear. Another scripture found in 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear. We were not given the spirit of fear, not the kind of fear that gives us torment. Nobody can make you fearful unless you allow it. Amen. Unless you have allowed a consequence to make you fearful. No matter how you feel, you can always reject fear. You can always reject it. You will potentially have many opportunities to be fearful in this life, walking in this life. But you can always reject it and say, no matter how I feel, I don't care what I feel, my decision is based on what God's word says. I walk by faith, not by sight. I'm going to obey God. I don't care what the world says. I remember standing before the judge, and I had to pay all these, things. I told, I was on my knees before that. I said, God, they said if I don't pay these things, they're going to guarantee my way. This is when I first came off of the streets and had lots of trouble, a lot of financial trouble. And I kneeled on my knees. I said, the pastor said at the church that if I would tithe, that you will rebuke the devourer and that I'm supposed to obey this. So if they ask me, why haven't you paid your fine? I just started out, mind you. Okay? I'm going to tell them because the Bible says I should tithe. And I was willing to say that in a court of law, see? But I was just a baby Christian, didn't understand, but my heart was right. But let me tell you, there's mercy for those who fear God. Amen. Someone wrote me a check for thousands of dollars. Wow. Somebody not even from the same town I was in. And sent me checks. He said, Roma, I heard you're doing personal work of ministry. I want to send you some money and books and Bibles to work on the streets in Kenora, Ontario. Would you accept this? I said, sure. And that was not for me personally. That's for my ministry, right? I didn't realize God was giving you ministry, see? That was a good sign there. Get me started off pretty good. But anyway, he called me back the same week. And he said to me, hey, Roma, listen, I'm sending you a check. I like that word, check. And he says to me, I want to send you a check here. Would it offend you if I send you this money? He sent me thousands of dollars. I mean, thousands of dollars. Just little old me, just working in Kenora, working on the street. He said, listen to me, I'm going to send you this money, and I want you to take that money and do whatever you want with it for your own life. That's not for your ministry, it's for you. How many people know that God will answer your prayer? He knows what's in your life. He will get you out of trouble. If you will have fear for God and respect for him and awe of him, he will get you out of every trouble that you have right now if you will obey God. We could just go home now and say, thank God I heard something good, eh? That's a good story though, right? That's my life. I'm telling you this because God told me this, showed me this. So a proper position of fear in our lives means, you know, when we fear God, it will dispel every fear that man can ever have. Because God will take care of you. So, what does it really mean to have fear of the Lord? First of all, a proper assessment or a fear of the Lord means this. It means that we are aware of God. When you have a fear of God, you are aware of his presence internally and also upon your life. That you know that God sees you, whatever you're doing in the dark, wherever you are on the weekend, wherever you are, you see God, you have an awareness of God. That is the fear of the Lord. You can no longer hide doing secret sins in your life when you're alone. I like what somebody said, your real character is who you are when you're alone. It means to have reverence. The fear of the Lord means to have reverence and fear and awesome honor of God. That means you honor God no matter what situation you're in. You'll honor God and his word first. And that you would revere him. Like you would revere, somebody very special that society says we have to. Like if somebody came here, if the queen came in here, you'd probably have to stand up straight and, whatever. So we have a fear of God. When you have a proper perspective of what it means to have fear of the Lord, you will begin to live differently. A proper fear of the Lord does not have torment associated with it, but a proper fear of the Lord has an idea that God will bless you because you honor him. However, there is a fear of the Lord that is associated with punishment if we don't obey him. And that's another level of fear. That if you say, you know, I don't care what God says. I know what God says, you know, you should accept him, live right. I don't care what he says. I'm just going to go and do whatever I want to do and live willfully in a sinful life. There'll be a consequence for you. You could lose your salvation and reject God and be lost eternally. And Jesus talked about what happens to people like that. So, the Lord, Jesus Christ himself, had great fear of God, or fear of his Father. How many of you ever feared your own dad in life? Let me see your hand. Yeah? You always wanted to make sure. They say, you know, dad's coming home at 5, at 5:30, and we're going to tell him about this. And you got, ooh, you know, he didn't know. Now, if your dad was a mother, you'd have the same feeling. Right? If you had a single mom, and you say, oh, you know, dad's going to take care of you. My mother was my dad. Even though I had a dad, she said, I'll fix you. Where's those willows? Amen. I remember Ed Wesley yelling like crazy. He knew what the willows meant. He'd be crying like this, cutting that willow off and taking all the branches off. He knows it's coming next. Hebrews 5:7, King James Version says, who in the days of his flesh, just talking about Jesus, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears. You see, Jesus was offering up strong crying and tears because of the consequences of people's lives. He would pray in such great, torment that people's lives are at stake if I don't pray. Ernie, you better keep praying. Ernie and I have this relationship, a love-hate relationship. Mostly love. When he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. God, he had such great fear of God that he obeyed God no matter what. So we need to follow this Jesus that showed us his example. He wanted to please God. He wasn't there to please man. He was there, he said, I come to please my Father. I come to do his will. And there was always a confrontation with the world and the people, the religious people, about him obeying his Father. People didn't like the fact that he said God was my Father. But he said, you know, I tell the truth. You guys are liars. I'm telling the truth. So we should desire mostly to respect God's wishes. Just like Jesus when he said to the cross, I don't want to go to the cross, but thy will be done. And each one of us needs to go to our own cross. The death of the things that needs to die in our lives. Verse 8 and 9 says, though he were a son, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. How many people know that sometimes you suffer to learn some things? When you obey God, you will suffer some things in this life. Suffer things like, you don't enjoy those things anymore. Like you suffer pressure from people. You have these things that happen in your life. If you obey God, if you don't suffer very much, maybe you're not obeying where you should be as much. I don't know. And being made perfect, he became the author and eternal salvation. We should fear God too. Here's what Isaiah said, Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah 8:13 says, make the Lord's heaven's army holy in your life. He is the one you should fear. Isaiah 8:13. He is one you should make you tremble. We should be more afraid of God than we're afraid of other people's opinions or whatever someone else is going to do in your life. That's a New Living Translation. The NIV says, the Lord Almighty is the one you should be regarded as holy. He is the one you are to fear. There are results of the fear of the Lord. There are results if we fear God. Proverbs 10:27 says, the fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the ears of the wicked shall be shortened. The NIV says, the fear of the Lord adds length to life. The fear of the Lord will add length to life, but the ears of the wicked are cut short. The NIV says that. So in other words, when we fear God, we can live long in this life. Long and strong, not just long and barely making it, but long and strong and healthy. Why do you think Kenneth Copeland looks so wonderful at 80 years old? Amen? Some of you look 80 this morning. You just woke up and you're not even anywhere near there. Hey, you're going to feel like that man 80-something years old. The fear of the Lord will increase our lifespan, not decrease it. Here's what 2 Chronicles 26:5 says. When a young man was taught to fear God, here's what happened to him. The Bible says Uzziah sought God during the days of Zechariah, who taught him to fear God. And as long as the king Uzziah sought guidance from the Lord, God made him successful. The Bible says when we have a fear of God, the blessing of God associated with fearing God is that we will be successful in everything you do. I remember in 1985, 86, when the Lord began to speak to me, and I was anywhere near being a success in different areas. I always kind of went up a certain level, and then one morning I was sleeping, and the Lord spoke to me on a Sunday. I believe it was a Sunday morning. The sun was shining there. And the Lord asked me directly, do you love me? I said, yes, I love you. Do you love my word? I said, yes. I was suffering at that time in different ways, emotionally, relationship issues, physical issues, different things as fear in my life. The Lord said, do you love me? He said, see that Bible? He said, lift up, get that Bible, go to Psalm chapter 1. And I began to read the chapters. I began to read the verses. And I got to chapter verse 3. It says that blessed is a man who doesn't walk in the... So on. It says that I would be successful in everything I do. The Lord spoke to me. He said, you know, because you love me and put me first, I'll make everything you do successful. Then he took me to Deuteronomy and different verses of Scripture that he said that everything I put my hands to do will be successful if I would just follow him. And that's not just for me. The Bible is for everybody. And I knew that whatever I decide to do, I'm going to be successful. And it doesn't mean that you try something one time and you fail. Just because you fail one time doesn't mean you are going to give up. You have to stay in, to stay strong, so that when you become chief, you remember me. And when I become chief, I remember you. No. I mean, you have to be able to, no matter what consequences are, you have to obey God. Amen. Right? Thank you to Jesus. So you'll become successful in life, but that's what happens to people when they begin to fear God. Now Moses, everybody say Moses. Moses in Hebrews 11, the Bible says that he did not was pressured by his customary lifestyle of living in a palace and living a sinful life. Like some people, they're born again into a certain lifestyle, and so they can just get access to different kinds of things. You know, we can look outside someone's life and critically look at them, because look at what they're doing. When we've never had a chance to leave and live like they did, like maybe a movie star, and look at what they're doing. They've got all kinds of pressures on their lives. If you're in politics and there's pressure on your life, and you got lots of temptations. And if you're just sitting at home watching TV, chewing gum all the time, you don't have that much temptations, except eat donuts. So it's easy to criticize someone rather than to pray for them. By faith, Moses, Hebrews 11:24, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. He made a decision how he was going to live, that he was going to revere God and fear God in his life and apply that application in his life, that he was going to fear God more than he was going to please other people. Now, he lived a life of, affluence, and, you know, he had lots of good things in his life. So, Galatians 6:7-8 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, that whatsoever man sows, that's what he'll reap. That's the consequence. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. It's always better to fear God, because God is always good. Amen. Proverbs 15:16 says, it's better to have little with the fear of the Lord. You know, you might start with little, but he don't keep you there. Right? He always increases you. Here's what the psalmist said about fearing God and his rewards. Psalm 34:5-9 says, they looked unto him and they were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried. I don't know whether I believe he's talking to himself. This poor man cried. Now, this poor man cried to the Lord. The Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. You know, if we have the fear of the Lord, he's going to save you from all your troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around them that fear him. Angels, when you obey God, angels are there automatically. They're there. Now we have to talk. We have to believe that. When we obey God, angels are going to be there for you. It says right here in the scripture. Angel of the Lord camps around them that fear him. What do? They deliver them. And, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want or lack to them that fear him. There is protection. There is no lack when you start to fear God. You will not lack anything. You will have protection in your life. Are you guys with me? Or is it too late here? Okay. So salvation, deliverance, protection, and safety, having plenty or having prosperity, every need met, is a blessing of the Lord when we fear him. Luke 12:5 says, fear God who has the power to kill and to throw you into hell. Yes, he is the one. He is the one to fear. Luke 12:5, the New Living. I mean, that's something that we need to look at. That's in the scripture. If it's in scripture, let's look at it. Now, a lot of people don't like to talk about hell or the consequences of sin. Like, let's talk about the whole thing and see what's in our lives. If you disobey God continually, there is a consequence. I know, okay, so I'm trying to get over this too. Ezekiel 33:11 says this, as surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked people. I only want them to turn from their wicked ways so they can live. God doesn't take pleasure, okay, no, you disobeyed me, I'm going to do something with you right now, I'll fix you up. He gives you the grace to change, to turn. You know, God sometimes waits a long, long time. How many people would say God waits for a long time for me? He did. Some people go to the gates of death. I was reading a story, Pastor Ken and I, sometimes Pastor Ken will sit in my office and I'll read him something. Because he's looking at me. Pastor Ken's sitting there and I said, let's go read this. So we read about Brother Hagin's death. And I was thinking about Brother Hagin. How many people know that Brother Hagin said he died as when he was 17 years old. And he was paralyzed for 17 months. On a bed, and he was, and the Bible said, or excuse me, he said himself, he mentioned some scriptures there about the Bible. He said that I died 3 times. I went down. He said, I'm going down and down and down. He said, God, I go to church, And he kept going down, down, down. God, I've been baptized in water. He kept going down, down, down. I'm a church member. He kept going down, down, down. And he said he just the blackness and thickness of the darkness was so dark he could feel it. And he's coming down to hell. He said he could smell the hell and could have all that stuff. But he said he cried, and a creature tried to take him in there. And so he said, I'm going to put up a fight. So he fought, and he stopped. He heard a voice from heaven. Something said something to this demon that was taking him into through the entrance of hell. And so the Bible said something like a suction sucked me up from my back and pulled me back up. And he said, as I'm coming back up out of the pit, he said, I heard myself praying and saying, Jesus, save me, deliver me, I'm a sinner. He was praying the sinner's prayer as he's going up. And as he's coming out of this, he said, I came out of there and I went back into my body. And as I came into my body, my voice that I heard that I was praying when I was in the spirit going to hell, coming up from hell, I could caught up to my, you know, my natural self. I was speaking it as I was laying in that bed. And I heard my mother was praying for me. My mother was pleading for me that I should not die, that God, that someone was interceding for him. Someone was praying for him. I know this happens. I've done it. I've went to people's lives. I prayed before God. I went before the very presence of God for people's lives at times. And it's been confirmed. And because a mama prayed in faith, because a grandma prayed and prayed, because a dad prayed in faith, that a kid did not die and go to hell, but they came and they lived. If we would stand and believe God today and stand strong for our children, they will not die and miss heaven. Because God says, what you cannot do intellectually to tell a child to change their lives, he said, I will do it. I will change their heart if you would change your heart and follow me. God says, I will circumcise your heart and the heart of your children. He said, if you come to me, I will save you, and then I will save your children. God will save you. He will save your children. That's the result of having a fear of the Lord. There's some people, they don't have a fear of the Lord. They don't care tomorrow, like just live like this tomorrow. You're not going to have that job forever. You're not going to earn the money you earn forever. There is a death out there. I was last week I went to a funeral of a friend of mine that I went to school with. We played hockey together, and he was a lawyer, and he ended up on the street of Thunder Bay, drinking and on drugs, cannot get out of it. Some people think they can just play around with this stuff and just come back when they want to. I know people who was in this church, young people, who are out there, they can't come back. You can't just turn it on and say, oh, I'm coming back. I'm ready now. There's just a process, man. There's something happens to people when they're out there. So I'm at the I went to respect the man that I went to school with. And, we talked together. We were Christians. We talked about God. We talked about the blessing of God. We talked about church. We played hockey together, went to school. He became a lawyer. I became a social worker. He's on the street. Now I'm here. I'm a minister. I'm standing there at his funeral. The pastor asked me, the minister asked me, do you want to say something? I didn't want to say. So I got up. I said, sure, if you want me to say something, I'll say something. I'll just share about my experience knowing him. So I got up and I spoke a little bit. I said, I saw this in the paper. I went to school with him and so on and so on. And I couldn't talk because I was so overtaken by it. Yesterday, my wife and I met with one of our colleagues from the college talking to us about a contract to work in the school. Doing a special contract with clients and stuff. They talked to me, and I said, "Oh, you know, I'm just so sorry about my last students are in April, the spring session." I said, "I didn't tell you that. I was so devastated when someone told me that so and so passed away this summer." And the coordinator of that program didn't know. And my wife and I and her began to, we broke down and cried because this student that we talked to just overdosed on drugs. He said, if I don't get better, if I don't feel good by the end of this year, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. That's his own words. What you say is what you get. I try to tell people, don't say those things. My sister died Friday. She said, I want to kill myself. I don't want to live anymore. I'm depressed. I don't want to live. I said, don't say that. By Tuesday, she's unconscious in the hospital. And I couldn't get there. Within several weeks, she's dead. I heard her say that over and over and over and over and over and over, year after year after year, until this happened. See, it's not instantly. But what you say is what you're going to get. So this young man, as a consequence of his lifestyle, he came to, I'm preaching there a few years back at Secord Street. He came up and he came up and repented. He asked God back, I want God in my life. He's crying there. I said, man, thank God he's come back to Jesus. And now he's in a coffin. I'm at his funeral. But God, as a blessing of God, we can extend our lives or we can shorten it depending on how we live. We need to pray. I'm sorry that maybe I've shaken you a little bit because sometimes you need a shaking. We need to be shaken because God doesn't have no pleasure in people dying without Him. Like you don't live like you're going to be like this forever. Right now, you might be having some little bit of trouble, but it's only a short season, right? What are you going to do next? Let's encourage each other. 10:24 says, "Let us encourage each other, provoke unto love and to good works." Let's encourage each other because the blessing of God is there. Don't give up, man. Don't give up. The blessing of God is around the corner. Don't give up. Thank you, Jesus. Moses was so fearful of God. In Hebrews 12:21, he says that I exceedingly fear and quake. We need to get to the place where we fear God more, not only have an awesome fear of God, but fear of falling into the, what the consequence of not having God in our lives to serve Him. I got more to say. God has more to say. Jesus had lots to say here about fearing God.